with them. I saw someone outside who said she was the Tooth Fairy, she said.
Nah, couldn't have been the Tooth Fairy, said the Raven. There's at least three of them.
There's no such person. I mean, I didn't know. I thought that's just... It's a story, like the Sandman or the Hogfather. According to rural legend, at least in those areas where pigs are a vital part of the household economy, the Hogfather is a winter myth figure who on Hogswatch night gallops from house to house on a crude sledge drawn by four tusked wild boars to deliver presents of sausages, black puddings, pork scratchings and ham to all children who have been good. He says ho 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 a lot. Children who have been bad get a bag full of bloody bones. It's these little details which tell you it's a tale for the little folk. There is a song about him. It begins, "You'd better watch out." The Hogfather is said to have originated in the legend of a local king, who, one winter's night, happened to be passing, or so he said, the home of three young women, and heard them sobbing because they had no food to celebrate the midwinter feast. He took pity on them and threw a packet of sausages through the window, badly concussing one of them, but there's no point in spoiling a good legend.
"Ah," said the Raven, "changing our tone, yes. Not so much of the emphatic declarative, yes. A bit less of the 'there's no such thing,' a bit more of a 'I didn't know,' yes."
"Everyone knows. I mean, it's not logical that there's an old man in a beard who gives everyone sausages and chitterlings on Hogswatch night, is it?"
"I don't know about logic. Never learned about logic," said the Raven. "Living on a skull ain't exactly logical, but that's what I do."
"And there can't be a Sandman who goes around throwing sand in children's eyes," said Susan, but in tones of uncertainty. You'd never get enough sand in one bag."
Could be.
"I'd better be going," said Susan. "Miss Butts always checks the dorms on the stroke of midnight."
"How many dormitories are there?" said the Raven.
"About 30, I think."
"You believe she checks them all at midnight, and you don't believe in the Hogfather?"
"I'd better be going anyway," said Susan. Thank you."
"Lock up behind you and chuck the key through the window," said the Raven.
The room was silent after she'd gone, except for the crackle as coals settled in the furnace. Then the skull said, "Kids today, eh?"
"I blame education," said the Raven.
"A lot of knowledge is a dangerous thing," said the skull. "A lot more dangerous than just a little. I always used to say that when I was alive."
"When was that exactly?"
"Can't remember. I think I was pretty knowledgeable. Probably a teacher or philosopher, something of that kidney. And now I'm on a bench with a bird crapping on my head."
"Very allegorical," said the Raven.
No one had taught Susan about the power of belief, or at least about the power of belief in a combination of high magical potential and low reality stability such as existed on the Discworld. Belief makes a hollow place. Something has to roll in to fill it. Which is not to say that belief denies logic. For example, it's fairly obvious that the Sandman needs only a small sack. On the Discworld, he doesn't bother to take the sand out first. It was almost midnight. Susan crept into the stables. She was one of those people who will not leave a mystery unsolved. The ponies were silent in the presence of Binky. The horse glowed in the darkness. Susan heaved a saddle down from the rack and then thought better of it. If she was going to fall off, a saddle wouldn't be any help, and reins would be about as much use as a rudder on a rock. She opened the door to the loose box. Most horses won't walk backwards voluntarily because what they can't see doesn't exist. But Binky shuffled out by himself and walked over to the mounting block where he turned and watched her expectantly. Susan climbed onto his back. It was like sitting on a table. "All right," she whispered. "I don't have to believe any of this, mind you." Binky lowered his head and whinnied. Then he trotted out into the yard and headed for the field. At the gate, he broke into a canter and turned towards the fence. Susan shut her eyes. She felt muscles bunch under the velvet skin, and then the horse was rising, over the fence, over the field. Behind it, in the turf, two fiery hoofprints burned for a second or two. As she passed